tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 2nd of March 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we have some news from Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. He is now back at home, released from the hospital and improving, and he hopes to be joining us for the Daily Nationalist on Thursday. I don't think we're going to get an Orthodox Nationalist out of him this week, but he will be here on Thursday. If he's not, well, we'll just have to give him another week to recuperate and get better. I've said to him not to push himself, and if he doesn't feel ready, then it's fine for him not to come back on Thursday, but he does seem quite keen to be here for that. We also have some good news from Sam Melia. He's now released from all his license restrictions. He was actually released from prison last year, but he's been under the same onerous license restrictions that I was under up until Saturday. He's now been released from his license conditions. He will be on Patriotic Weekly Review on Wednesday, so we will have that. We'll be streaming that live, and we will also have the MP3 version of it, the podcast version of it for it later. And Sam has also written a book. I spent my time relearning how to play the drums again and getting back into music and making playlists up, essentially trying to learn how to DJ. And during that time, Sam has written a book. I mean, it is good that when nationalists are put under these restrictions, it doesn't mean that we just stop doing things. We use this time to be even more creative and to work on other projects that we didn't have time to do when we were doing our political activism. So that's very good news that Sam is back, and I look forward to hearing what he has to say on Wednesday. And that's about it for the good news, because unfortunately, America has invaded Iran, or at least started dropping bombs on Iran. They've assassinated the Ayatollah Khomeini, and they also assassinated President Ahmadinejad. Imagine that. He's a retired president, but they still haven't forgiven him for his Holocaust conference that he had some years back, when he invited the world's leading historical revisionists to come to Iran to present their evidence and to discuss what they had learned about looking into the alleged gassing of 6 million Jews as a deliberate policy in National Socialist Germany. And Lady Michelle Renouf was there, Dr. David Duke was there, I think Germar Rudolph was there. All the important people were there. And this gained worldwide coverage, international coverage. And I don't think the Jews have forgiven Mahmoud Ahmadinejad for that. So part of the assassinations, the wave of assassinations that took place over the weekend, included this retired president. It also looks like they have bombed two schools. 60 school children have been murdered. And yet when you look on the television over here on GB News, I had a look at GB News over the weekend, and we got all these supposed Iranians cheering this on and calling it a rescue mission and saying how wonderful it is that America is bombing their country. So it's not likely to be very good for Iran. One of the positive things that comes from this is the Restore Party, the Restore Britain Party, are the only political party in Britain to condemn this attack. They don't support this attack. The only right-wing party to condemn this, the Conservative Party and Reform and Labour, they are all supporting this. I'm not quite sure if the Green Party is supporting this. When the Green Party talk to the Muslims, they'll say, we don't support this and we support Palestine. I'm not quite sure whether they're saying the same when they're asked this by white people. I think it's split the MAGA movement in America. You have lots of right-wing commentators, even people like Tucker Carlson, that are condemning this. You have others saying that people like Tucker Carlson should be locked up for condemning this. One thing that will come from this, I think, is that if anybody had any doubt about the Jewish influence on the American government, surely they can have no more doubts about this. It has to be clear that this is a Jewish operation, an Israeli operation to do this. This excuse that they're going after nuclear weapons, it says on the White House homepage that Iran's nuclear facilities were destroyed and that anybody that says different is fake news. And then we're told by President Trump that they're now currently bombing Iran to make sure that it has no nuclear facilities. And I guess you could say that if they really were planning on getting a nuclear bomb, then you would need to get them before they got the nuclear bomb. And I think that's the logic that they're actually using. But of course, we've been told that Iran is making a nuclear bomb for the last 30 years. And Iran constantly says, we're not making a nuclear bomb. And if they were making a nuclear bomb, surely they would have used that in retaliation by now after these attacks on them. One of the predictions that is being made about this is, of course, that this is just going to cause another wave of immigration into Europe. And I've even heard some people on the right saying, oh, yes, well, this will mean that some of these Iranian refugees, they'll be able to go back to Iran. No, it doesn't. They'll destroy Iran. They'll leave it in the same state that Iraq was left in. And we'll see millions of new refugees from Iran. Iran is a huge country. It's as large as Turkey. It's absolutely massive. And it's not just nationalists that are warning about this. Even the mainstream news media are warning about this. I have an article here from GB News. It's titled, Europe braces for another migrant crisis with millions prepared to flee Middle East amid US-Iran war. Quote, it will wash up on Britain's shores. Tensions between the United States, Israel and Iran have erupted into open conflict after the United States and Israeli militaries launched coordinated strikes on targets inside Iran today, with security experts warning of a looming refugee crisis that could destabilize the Middle East and flood Europe with more asylum seekers. GB News has investigated the possibility of another large-scale migrant catastrophe if last-ditch talks aimed at restricting the Islamic Republic's nuclear program fail to reach a diplomatic breakthrough. Today, the United States and Israel launched coordinated airstrikes on targets inside Iran, with explosions reported in Tehran and other major cities as Western and Israeli forces begin combat operations against the Islamic Republic. I think I should also point out here that this is in the middle of talks, basically, about Iran stopping its nuclear program. And Donald Trump spoke about this, the fact that they were having talks at the time with Iran, and then they sort of lure them into this false sense of security by saying, well, we'll have these peaceful talks, and then when they have the talks, they bomb the country. And this isn't the first time that they've done this to Iran. With General Soleimani, he was invited to a peace talks, and I think they might have been in Saudi Arabia, one of the Arabian countries. And when General Soleimani got there and he was leaving his private jet and he was in his limousine, the Americans just bombed the limousine. And it's like in a Ukraine when they had peace talks there, the Minsk Accords that they came up with. And according to these Minsk Accords, the Donbass region was going to have a limited amount of autonomy, and the Ukrainians would stop bombing them, and they would allow them to speak Russian, and they would allow them to have their Russian TV stations. And then it was admitted afterwards by Angela Merkel, by David Cameron, and I think by Sarkozy as well, the former French president, that they had no intention of actually keeping to the Minsk Accords. And the only reasons why they did this was to delay Putin going in there to rescue the Donbass residents so that they Ukraine could fill the place up with NATO troops. It was literally just a stalling tactic until they could get enough NATO troops into Ukraine to start a war. And it seems the same here. This talk about peace talks about nuclear weapons, it was just a stalling tactic until America can get its battle cruisers right next to Iran. So, as I say, this seems to be a method that America is now using to pretend to be all ready for peace talks and in actual fact be preparing for war. Continuing with the article here, Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei had previously threatened Washington with uncontrolled consequences, which could result in legitimate targets in Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Qatar and the United Arab Emirates being struck. And they have all been struck. US President Donald Trump warned reporters he may have to use force against Tehran and has today joined Israel in doing so. In 2003, one in six Iraqis were displaced, with the number of refugees hitting millions. Estimates from the Refugee Study Center reveal. So that gives you an idea, because Iran is larger than Iraq. One in six ended up being displaced. Millions of them were displaced. So we could potentially see millions of Iranians now trying to enter Europe. 8 years after George W. Bush declared mission accomplished, Syria suffered a civil war that forced 6.7 million citizens to flee. Libya's internal conflicts, sparked by the Arab Spring protests in 2011, have led to 1 million people seeking refuge, mainly in neighbouring countries. So you can say probably 25% of them will go to neighbouring countries, maybe even 50%, but that still leaves 500,000 people that will be trying to make it to Europe. But it will probably end up being millions, really, because the neighbouring countries won't accept them. And this is one of these issues with these refugees. Saudi Arabia won't accept refugees from these countries because they just say, well, they're going to be jihadis. We don't want these people. And they end up sending them into Europe. And of course, when they're in Europe, you get Saudi Arabia saying, well, we don't want people to even attend British universities because they are soaked through with these jihadis. The Muslim Brotherhood is one of these organizations, and they've advised their citizens in Saudi Arabia and Qatar not to study at British universities because there is a chance they'll be radicalized by the Muslim Brotherhood. Iran has a population of 90 million people, which is larger than the combined populations of Iraq, Syria and Libya together. If just 10% of Iran's population is displaced, it could rival some of the largest refugee movements this century. So it's saying there could be 9 million refugees. And if a quarter of Iran escapes, it would increase the global refugee population by upwards of 75%, according to the United Nations Refugee Agency. Alex Noraste, senior vice president at the Cato Institute, commented that in Syria, the chaotic repercussions of such a massive refugee population disrupted the Middle East and Europe. Critics said the impact could be consequential, not only for Iran and the Middle East, but also for Europe and the UK. It would definitely be Europe and the UK. That's where they would end up heading for. Also because they would blame Europe and the UK for allowing this to happen. And this is one of the most ridiculous things about allowing these refugees in is that Europe goes and the UK in particular go over and aid all these jihadis to go and fight against Syria and dis, destabilize the Syrian country, and we go out and we bomb Iraq and destabilize that country, and then we allow the people that we've just bombed to come into our own country with this, you know, they must absolutely hate the British people for what they've done to their country, destroyed it. And then we just invite them into our own country, where a certain portion of them will then carry out horrific acts against us. And this isn't even including all the anti-white propaganda that they will get when they actually get here, and all this stuff about how the white man is a racist and he's the reason why all of these non-white peoples haven't succeeded as much as the white man is, because he's been holding them down. So it's not just this anti-white stuff. They've actually got legitimate grievances against the West for bombing their country. I mean, you imagine if your next one of the people from another town had massacred your entire family and then allowed you to move into that town next door to the people that actually carried out the massacring. It would be difficult for you not to try and take your revenge. And that's the issue with a lot of these refugees. They just have this ideological difference over anti-whiteness and racism. They have a literal and understandable desire for revenge against the people that destroyed their country. And this is the sort of thing that we're going to end up seeing, I think, from Iran. I mean, one of the things you can say is that Iran doesn't actually, despite all the nonsense that we hear on the television, Iran doesn't actually sponsor terrorists that blow themselves up, suicide bombers. And we've never had Iranian suicide bombers in Europe. We've never had Afghan suicide bombers in Europe either, even though we were told that the Taliban were terrorists. What they mean when they say that Iran is a terrorist state is that Iran has allies that are opposed to Israel, and Iran helps its allies. Its allies are groups like the Palestinians, like Lebanon. So countries which are opposed to Israel are Iran's allies. And that's the only reason why Iran is called a terrorist state. It's not because they've carried out any terrorist attacks. There was an incident where they kidnapped some people or held an embassy hostage, I think, in Britain, and a policewoman was shot and killed. And there are questions over who it was that shot and killed this policewoman. And this was just within a couple of years of the Islamic Revolution that they actually had in Iran. This was about 40 years ago, something like that. So there's never been any suicide bombers since then. And you can't really accuse the country of being a terrorist state. And they had a legitimate grievance against the West because the West shot down a civilian aircraft and killed 150-odd of these just civilian Iranians. I mean, they do have genuine grievances against the West. All of these things should have been talked out, not just going over there and bombing the country. It's horrendous what's happened, and we can see what the result of it is going to be. Continuing with this article here, Tobias Aylward, a former Conservative MP, I should really say a notorious kosher Conservative MP, and chairman of the Defence Select Committee, told GB News, "You can't just affect a country by bombs alone and expect it to all end well. That's where the soft power then comes in. A plan to then support Iran through a transition period, which will then make the Middle East more peaceful for everybody. But those problems, if you don't solve them, will wash up on our shores." That's what they mean by soft power, is put in a transitional government, which will all be people that have been groomed for that. Iranians that have been living in exile and going to left-wing Western universities, where they will have been groomed to take power in Iran and be subservient to America and Israel, and no longer independent. I mean, this is the thing. Iran is an independent country, makes independent decisions. It's not subservient to America and Israel like the rest of the West are, like all the governments in the West are. Tobias Aylward continues, "The other one is extremism, because when people do depart from war zones, they could easily then be subject to indoctrination, and then you get Islamic extremists coming out from that." So it's quite a truthful thing that he's actually said there, for surprisingly enough. Manny Barsazd, a junior research associate at the Institute for Economic Affairs, also raised concerns over large numbers of Iranians making their way to Britain. The Islamic regime mobilizes illegal immigration, Mr. Barsazd told GB News. These people are a real threat to England and a real threat to the countries that they are in. And we really haven't had that much Iranian refugees up until this point, but I think that we will now have many, many, many more of them. And also, as I say, with a grudge to bear against Britain. All we can say is, well, Britain didn't actually help with the original attacks, but we are now offering our bases to help defend against any more attacks. And we are allied with America and Israel. Probably America and Israel's most staunchest ally. Insiders have said that a reformed government or military takeover in which the current regime remains in power could be disastrous, with Mr. Elwood claiming extremists are primed for the military to take over, replacing the theocratic dictatorship that they now have. Another thing that is worth pointing out here is that any time there's been a revolution or a regime change like this, it's always far worse for the people afterwards. I mean, you may have had this theocracy, this religious dictatorship before. But what do you think a military dictatorship is likely to be? Do you really think that the people in Iran want abortion and divorce and pornography and drugs and LGBTQ and trans kids? Do you think they really want any of that? I would suggest that the majority of them probably don't want any of that. And feminism in particular. Do the Iranian people want to have a Western style democracy? I mean, Trump is saying one of his ideas is that they will destroy the infrastructure there, and then it's up to the Iranians to form their own government. But of course, I think what we will see is that America and Israel already have a planned transitional government that they will present to the Iranian people and say, if you accept them, we will help you rebuild your country. If you don't accept them, we may bomb you again. So they may be forced to take on a Western-style democracy. And of course, it has been said that a Western-style democracy just means being ruled by Jews, because it quite clearly doesn't actually mean that the most popular ideas get acted on or the most popular party gets put into power. We've seen the most popular party be put in jail. We've seen elections be cancelled and people being forced to elect the people that they want again. We see all of these dirty tricks. So you have to say, well, clearly, democracy doesn't mean the most popular person and the person who gets the most votes actually wins. And then you see the press saying that when you do get popular people and they start saying things like, well, we need to stop immigration, we need to stop LGBTQ, then they say, well, this is a threat to democracy. So quite clearly, even though these people are popular and they've been voted in, they are somehow a threat to democracy. And there is this general understanding that because these people are against things such as LGBTQ and mass immigration, ideals that predominantly Jewish organizations promote, then in actual fact, what they really mean by democracy is subservient to Jewish ideals, which, of course, is what the Iranian people have claimed to be completely against. So, as I say, I'm not quite sure that they actually want to have a Western-style democracy. Some reports suggest 30,000 people have been murdered in the streets since January for protesting against the Ayatollah, the biggest massacre of Iranians in recent history. Interesting here that they refer to it as protesting, whereas the pictures and the video that we've seen show them killing police officers, setting fire to cars, blowing up buildings. And the actual Iranians said that they were dealing with a jihadi insurgency and that there were ISIS members and Islamic extremists amongst them. And that's why they ended up having to fire on them. So perhaps there were genuine protesters in amongst them, but there were also jihadis that have been put in there amongst them to discredit the the uprising. And of course, we discussed this, myself and Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, a few weeks back. You can probably still find it in the geopolitics section. And we talked about what was actually being said by Press TV and what was actually being said by the Iranians with regards to those so-called protests. And you have to listen to both sides of the story. The mainstream media would just want you to say, oh, well, just discount everything that the Iranians say. They're lying. It's all fake news. Of course, the Iranians will say, well, just discount everything that the West is saying. They're lying. They're trying to subvert the country. So the truth is going to be somewhere in the middle. We should also bear in mind that the West has its own fake Iranian TV companies. It has BBC Persia, which of course is just going to push the BBC Western line, and yet it calls itself BBC Persia, rather as if the Chinese had came out with a TV channel and called it British Broadcasting Company and claimed to be British when they're actually Chinese. Well, that's exactly what the BBC have done with BBC Persia. So watch out for when you see BBC Persia as a source for anything, because it really just means it's the West. Iran began the year with extensive protests sparked by its weak economy, with inflation rates consistently exceeding the 30% mark, while the Ayatollah's refusal to end his nuclear program resulted in severe tariffs from the White House. Mr. Barshazd, an Iranian citizen, said removing Khomeini after nearly four decades in power would only lead people to venture towards the likes of Turkey, Greece and Italy. That would be the biggest wave of immigration, Mr. Barshazd explains. People would go anywhere they can. From when you had a period of high immigration from Iran to Western countries, the main difference was a sociological factor, which was that Iranians found out there is no hope in Iran. There is no hoping to stay. That's the reason they immigrated. Risking their lives on a boat going to another country, that's the system that happened. But right now, because of the economic situation, especially the exchange rate, legal immigration is almost impossible for most Iranians. So illegal immigration will be what they're doing. They'll be coming over in boats. Mr. Elwood said the likelihood of Iran being taken over by the IRGC, a multi-service primary branch of the Iranian Armed Forces that is proscribed as a terror group in the EU, is high, which could result in a serious exodus of people trying to escape. And the likelihood is that that's what they will try to do, because that's the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. That's the organization that runs things over there. So even if you take out the Ayatollah, they'll just put another Ayatollah in place. They'll still try to keep the arms of the government functioning. They'll need to do that in order to feed the people. So the likelihood is that they will just stay with what they have, and the country will just be destroyed. And the West will, of course, start pretending that this transitional government of theirs is the actual government, the same as they did in Libya, the same as they did in Syria. You might remember in Syria, they kept saying the Syrian transitional government, or the Libyan transitional government, and they weren't the actual government. They were just this fake government that the West was promoting as the genuine government. After the overthrow of the Pahlavi dynasty in 1979, the number of Iranians outside the country doubled to 830,000. By 1990, that figure soared to 1.25 million. Today, the situation could be more serious. Mr. Narastair wrote in 2025, northern border crossings to Turkey, Azerbaijan and Armenia are overwhelmed with Iranians trying to leave. Even refugee flows of 1 million Iranians by the end of this year and 2.3 million by the end of next year would also be a disaster. So it's no exaggeration to say that this will create millions of refugees. Between 2015 and 2024, 62,000 Iranians applied for asylum in the UK, which is 15,000 more than those from Afghanistan, according to the Migration Observatory at the University of Oxford. People tend to, if they are refugees, stay close to the country of origin, Mr. Elwood noted, but a lot of these will be looking to improve their lives rather than just fleeing to a country nearby. A lot of them will be looking to make as much money as they can. And of course, to do that, they will want to come to the West. Mr. Elwood predicted a swarm of Iranians could set their sights on Dover, adding, when countries are unstable, then people will flee and they will then take the risk of the Channel crossing to get to the UK. All we can do to put up barriers is in bits and pieces. Reza Pahlavi, the son of Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, the last Shah of Iran, has vowed to return to his homeland after nearly five decades of exile in the US. And of course, that's who America is pushing forward to run America. And of course, the Iranians had a revolution to get rid of the Shah because the Shah was an American puppet. And this guy is also just another American puppet. The political dissident, whom Mr. Strong argues has broad support from Iranians, I don't think he does, has pitched himself as someone who wants to build stronger relations with the United States and Israel. He would offer a complete regime change and in this instance could offer the hope needed, Mr. Barshaz said. If you have a regime change, Iranians who had no hope would have hope to stay in their own country and so many Iranians would go back to their country. But Mr. Elwood believes this scenario is very unlikely, saying it's a very romantic image to think that's going to solve all the problems, to have another unelected person who was related to the reason why the 1979 revolution took place in the first place. And of course, that's the view that I have as well. Quite surprised, actually, at Tobias Elwood here. A lot of the things that he's said has been quite sensible. So when we hear that this attack in Iran is going to mean that the Iranian refugees that are already here will be able to go back to Iran, that's a complete load of nonsense. What is more likely to happen is this that's outlined here. We are more likely to get at least 1 million refugees from Iran trying to come into Europe, particularly trying to come into Britain. And of course, as I say, they will have this grudge against Britain and against Europe for being the people responsible for destroying their homeland in the first place. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.